coming of Jesus Christ just about 2,000 years ago, and then I look forward to the second coming, kind of like Christmas past and Christmas future. And I'm thinking this morning that we've had about 6,000 years of recorded human history in this world. And the Bible says a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years a day. The Bible speaks of the seventh dispensation or day, 6,000 years. We're now approaching that final time of the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ when he comes back to rule and reign over the whole earth. You know, the end times began when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The Bible is very clear in Hebrews 1 that began the last days. 4,000 years they looked forward to his coming, and after 4,000 years of prophecy, finally the promise was realized and he came. But a lot of people didn't realize to finish the work, he'd have to come again. The work for our salvation was finished when he died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. That's finished. And now we need to accept him as our Savior, because he's coming again to judge this world. And anybody that doesn't obey that gospel that we're talking about will be judged when he comes back. You'll be on the bad side of Jesus. You don't want to be there. And so we're getting very close now to what I would call the end of the end times. And you say, well, Pastor, how do we know that we're in the end times? Well, the Bible is very clear that before Jesus comes back, that the nation of Israel that was scattered in AD 70 by the Roman invasion, that the Israelites would be gathered back to their land and become a nation. Ezekiel 36, Ezekiel 37. It speaks of the dry bones of Hitler's ovens in Ezekiel 37, and how those bones are going to shake and come together and have flesh and muscle on them, and then stand up and have a great army. And Israel now is a great nation with a great army. May 14, 1948, this all happened. And so we know we're in the end times of the end times, because we are now in the time when Israel is a nation. The devil hates that. That's why people are speaking against Israel. Israel's not perfect, but they're God's chosen nation and they're God's timepiece. In other words, that nation being in their land again, speaking their language, is the hour hand of the end times. But then I remember it well, June the 7th, 1967, when Israel went up onto the old city of Jerusalem and captured it from the Jordanians and from the Arab invaders. And they took over the old city of Jerusalem. And so now Jerusalem is in the hands of the descendants of King David. It is one united city. In 2017, December, this month, Donald Trump declared Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and he put the United States Embassy there. No president ever did that. He did it. We are in the end times, and listen to me, that is the minute hand. If the hour hand is Israel becoming a nation, the minute hand that Jesus is coming back, you're getting closer, is 1967, after the Six-Day War, during that war, when Israel took over the city of Jerusalem, the old city and the Temple Mount. But how about the second hand? That will happen up on that mount when that Islam shrine that's up there, that squats up there where God's holy temple is supposed to be, on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem, when that thing is taken down. I'm watching for that. We're getting close. That will be the second hand. But mark my words, it will happen. It will happen. And there's going to be war in the Middle East, and Israel is going to take over Jordan, areas of Gaza, and the West Bank, and all of it will be annexed by Israel. I am saying to you that we are in the end of the end times, and I want to talk to you about your approach to these end times. And I want to preach this morning on one point, but I'm going to give 3 points in chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians 1 and 2. And I want to give the first point this morning. Tonight, I want to give the second point, possibly the third point. And what are the 3 points? Your approach to the end times. Number one, do not be disturbed. Number two, do not be deceived tonight. And number three, do not be discouraged. And of course, I'm talking to believers when I say that. If you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that doesn't apply to you. You need to stop being disobedient to the gospel. What is the gospel? That Jesus paid it all. And all you need to do to be saved is repent of your unbelief and come to Christ by faith and put your trust in Him to save you. And if you do that, you'll be willing to own Him as your personal Savior. I'm saying this morning that your approach to the end times is very important, and it says in verse 7 of chapter 1, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels." Therefore, your approach to these end times, if you're a believer in Jesus, you're going to have rest. Don't be disturbed by the end times. And why don't you need to be disturbed? Because Jesus Christ is coming back again. Every day we live, we're one day closer to this grand event. You know, when He came the first time, He changed the calendar. We now celebrate AD. It was BC. AD means Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. We're dated from that time. He changed the calendar. He's been changing lives. When He comes the second time, He's going to change planet Earth. It's coming. And we're getting closer to that grand event. Are you ready for it? People weren't ready when He came the first time for that first Christmas. Are you ready? Your approach should be, if you're ready, you don't need to be disturbed. And why? Because of the who of His coming. It says in 2 Thessalonians, "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels." You don't need to be disturbed because of the who of His coming, because He's coming to save you. You see, right now, we are in a world of tribulation. And the Bible says that when He came the first time, the world did not accept Him. He came wearing sandals. He came looking just like an ordinary man. He came the first time and He had His beard pulled out. He had His face punched. He was blindfolded. He was nailed to a cross. He was rejected of men the first time He came. And we who believe in Him sometimes get mocked. Hey, if I were you, I'd stop mocking Christians. Right. You think you're smart mocking Christians? The Lord's going to have the last laugh. Right. The Bible says when He comes back, He's going to laugh at you. Did you hear me? He's going to laugh at you because of your rejection of Him. And when He came the first time, he came, you see, to be rejected. And now when we go, many times people reject us, reject the word that we preach and that we say, reject what we stand for from the Bible. And Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation. And you're going to see a great tribulation when this whole world is going to reject Christianity. this whole world is going to reject Jesus. And there's going to be another man. He is called the Antichrist, the one against Christ and in place of Christ. He's going to be a Jew. And there's going to be a world ruler, an anti-God the Father ruler, who's going to rule this whole world. And they're going to reject Christmas. They're going to reject Christ. They're going to reject the Bible. And the religion will be worship this evolved man. And the Jewish Antichrist will say, worship him. He'll even do miracles. And the whole world will turn against him. That day is coming.
Right.
You don't even realize how close we are. You know, I'm here preaching today, but if Kamala Harris would have got elected, I'd have been arrested. I believe, personally, it's my opinion. You know, we are coming to the point in Canada. You know, there are 500,000 red Chinese communists that are training in Canada. We're worried about the southern border. How about the northern border? Canada under Trudeau and now under the Prime Minister is basically a totalitarian state. They use the lockdowns and wouldn't let you leave your house, and there is tremendous totalitarian rule in Canada now. They don't have freedom anymore in Canada. Do you know that? Do you know freedom of speech is gone in Canada? Do you know freedom of speech is gone in England and in Europe? They're being arrested for talking about Jesus. Do you realize that? Do you realize in Australia, when they had the lockdowns, they put cameras in their phones and the government FaceTimed the people to make sure they did not leave their house, and they want this as a permanent totalitarian state. They want to follow the model of China. That's why China has 500,000 red Chinese soldiers up there training. You see, it was amazing that the Lord Jesus put in Donald Trump. He's not a perfect man by any stretch. May not even be a born-again Christian. But he's raised up by God, because that guy will not quit.
Right.
They tried to take him out with lawfare. They tried to take him out with killing him. They tried to take him out every way conceivable. And they could not do it, you see. And so in America, we have freedom of religion still. We have freedom of speech still. But all over the world, Satan is bringing in his one world government, his Antichrist, his beast. We are in the end of the end times, but God has given us a time delay, a reprieve. Are you aware that they want to take out Trump now? Are you aware that Hugo Chavez in Venezuela had the Smartmatic voting machine perfected so he could win, and he cheated through the internet with Smartmatic? Are you aware Smartmatic sued the socks off of Mike Lindell? But Mike Lindell is running for the governor of Minnesota. May he win. And Smartmatic, the head person of Smartmatic, got arrested.
Amen.
But they're still trying to sue Mike Lindell. Are you aware that right now, as I speak, Donald Trump has huge armaments all around Venezuela, because after Hugo Chavez did that, Maduro got in with the Smartmatic, and then they went to Sequoia machines to change the name to protect the guilty, and then they went to Dominion, and election fraud is real in Venezuela. Red China supports it. Russia supports it. Donald Trump has said, I'm going to invade Venezuela, and Putin said, if you invade Venezuela, we will launch nuclear weapons on you. And Trump said, go right ahead and try. We'll blow up the world if need be. But I'm not backing down. And Putin backed down. Are you aware of these things? God Almighty is in control of your world. Listen up here, everybody. Listen up and listen to the word when I'm preaching. God Almighty is in control of your world. He could take it out. He could take you out in a moment.
Right. Yeah.
We don't have to be disturbed because Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's no longer that babe in Bethlehem. He's no longer in that manger. He's no longer on that cross. He's no longer in that grave. He's risen from the dead. He's ascended into heaven. He's coming again. That doesn't disturb me, but it should disturb you. I said it should disturb you, Smiley. Because he'll wipe that smile off your face. Unless you mourn right now and repent right now and get right right now and get saved right now. He's coming again and he's angry. And that's why he raised up Trump, to judge the systems of evil that have been controlling America through the Smartmatic, through the Sequoia, through the Dominion machines, and by the grace of God, they're going down. But there's coming a time, my friend, when it's going to take over America, when it's even going to take over Israel. I'm talking about the deep state. I'm talking about the globalists. Every nation. And the Jewish people at that time that don't believe in the Jewish Antichrist and don't believe in the Gentile world ruler, they're going to run and hide into what today is southern Jordan and into the wilderness of Judea to hide from this individual. And think about the technology today and the inability to hide today because of technology. But don't be disturbed, because Jesus is coming again. And the Bible says when these things happen, here's what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. In Matthew 24:30, it says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." We're talking about the who of his coming. When he came the first time, he came with these sandals. He came meek and mild. But when he comes the second time, he's coming in the clouds of heaven. The whole world is going to see him, and they're going to mourn when they see him. You say, why are they going to mourn? Because they believe the Jewish Antichrist, and they've accepted the Gentile world ruler called the Beast, and they've gone along with the mark, and they've got the mark in their hand or in their forehead so they could get blessed and buy and sell. But you know what? When he comes back, they're going to try to hide from him at first. They're going to mourn and grieve. But here's what the Bible said to you that have accepted the Lord, and therefore you won't take the mark. It says that when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I'm talking about tsunamis. I'm talking about cosmic darkening before he comes back. I am talking about an earthquake. I am talking, my friends, about men's hearts failing them, pacemakers going out because of what's happening. And I'm talking about then the glory of the light shining across the darkened sky, heralding he is coming back. He says when you're his people and you see that happen and the people are crying and mourning and dying of heart, lift up your head and shout, because your redemption draws nigh. Oh, my friends, this is no fable. This is fact. This is happening, and it's time to get ready. I'm talking, my friend, about the who of his coming. That same Jesus that went away meek and mild is coming back again. But secondly, I am talking about the when of his coming. Don't be disturbed because of who's coming back, but don't be disturbed because of the when of his coming. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, when the Lord Jesus is revealed. Oh, he's going to be revealed. You know, that's what the book of Revelation means, the revelation of Jesus, not meek and mild as he came the first time, but as he's coming in his second coming glory, as he's revealed for the whole world to see, he's coming back again. And when he comes back is a wonderful thing. It says, when the Lord Jesus is revealed. You know, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. You know what? I don't know the day he's coming back. I don't know the year he's coming back. But he may come back in your lifetime. There may be many of you here, or some of you here, that you will be alive and kicking when Jesus is revealed coming from heaven in mighty power. You see, a lot of people don't know right now there's a war. The deep state now knows it's kill or be killed. Either they kill Trump and have a civil war, or they're going to be arraigned, arrested, and military tribunals. That's why they're saying, and you've heard it, don't obey the orders of the commander-in-chief, the duly elected commander-in-chief of the military. They're saying that. That is treason.
Right.
It's kill or be killed. When Jesus comes back, it's going to kill or be killed. At first, the world's going to mourn and try to hide from him, but the survivors, because when he comes back, he's not going to destroy the entire world in one fell swoop. He's going to send judgment after judgment, fiery judgments, over a period of under 3.5 years in his second coming. And the world is not going to be knocked out, and they're going to fight back. How foolish. How stupid. That's why the Bible says the Lord's going to laugh. I remember a senior in high school seeing a little grade school kid trying to beat him up when I was in school, and the senior just held his hand on the kid's head, and the kid was going. And the senior was laughing. Bible says the Lord's going to laugh.
Right.
He'll have him in derision. When he comes again, and he is coming again, and he knows exactly when. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. His second coming is like the sunrise. It comes up. I was in the deer woods. It was dark. I couldn't shoot a deer. I couldn't see anything. I had to wait there till the sun came up. And when the sun came up, everything came into clear view. I wish I would have seen a deer. I would have shot it. But when Jesus comes back, it's all going to become clear. And there's going to be a fight. But guess what? The devil's going to lose. The world is going to lose. And I'm just saying that when he comes back, it's going to be like the sunrise. And you can't stop the sun from rising. When it comes, it comes. And don't be disturbed because of the who of his coming. Don't be disturbed because the when of his coming. Every day we're getting closer. It's going to happen. You can't stop it no more than you can hold the wind in your fist or the waves in your hand, or that you could stop the sunrise. And then I'm talking about the wonder of his coming. Don't be disturbed because of the wonder of his coming. It says in chapter 1 verse 10, he comes to be glorified in his saints. You know what that means? When he comes back, 1 Thessalonians 4:14 says, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He's going to be glorified when he brings back his believing saints. We just had Benji Rodriguez go to heaven. We just had Ruben Rodriguez go to heaven. We've had others like Denny Owen. Marion is here, went to heaven. Ralph Tolley, Marlene is here, went to heaven. We've had others of our midst that have died and have gone to heaven. I'm here to tell you, when he comes back, he's going to be glorified because he's going to bring them with him. He's going to bring their souls. You say, how will that glorify him by bringing their souls? My friend, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 said that the first thing he's going to do when he comes back with the souls of your loved ones is he's going to say, up from the grave, and their bodies are going to come out of the grave. You say, well, what if their bodies have been destroyed and scattered? My friend, he is the creator. He made every atom. He made matter out of nothing. He holds everything together by the word of his power, my friend. He will gather them atom by atom, molecule by molecule, reassemble them by the might of his power, the word of God.
Amen.
The word that's spoken of here, glorified in his saints. It's going to be wonderful. His name is wonderful. He's wonderful. The mighty God, the Prince of Peace, he's coming back, and that wonderful miracle he's going to do, and I know he's going to do it. And not only that, my friend, the Bible says here that he will not only be glorified in his saints, it says in 2 Thessalonians 1:10 that he will be admired in them that believe. Look at verse 10. I'll read it. It says that he will be admired in them that believe. And that, again, is a word for wondered, to be admired. And why will he be admired? Well, they'll see him raise the dead of your loved ones. And if you're still here, the Bible says in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, your body will change so that it will not any longer be sick or aging or old or die. It will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And then he'll send his angels and he'll catch you all up to meet him in the air. I mean, when he came the first time, he didn't do all that stuff. But he did pay for our sins, so he could do all that stuff. If you'll accept him as your Savior. And so I'm so glad I did, and some of you need to, and I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven because it doesn't depend on me. It's all on Jesus. He paid it all. All to him I owe. My sin had left a crimson stain. His blood washed it white as snow. And my friend, he's sitting down right now. I know where he is. He's at the right hand of the Father right now. He's sitting on go. He's just waiting to hear the word go. And he'll come. And he'll save us out of this world. There's the past of salvation when you get born again. If you're not born again, you're not going. You got to be born again. You'll split hell wide open if you're not born again. That's the past of salvation. There's the present of salvation. You were saved when you were born again. You are being saved right now from the power of your sinful nature by the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. That's sanctification. But when he comes the second time, he's going to save your dying body, your sick body, your sin-ridden body. He's going to change it like his glorious body. It'll be able to fly. It'll never get sick again. It'll never be able to sin again. I'm telling you, when he comes back, he'll finish the final salvation, the future salvation. It's coming, my friend. Today's closer than yesterday. I'm looking forward to that day. You say, how long have you been looking forward to Jesus come back? Ever since I got born again.
Amen.
I've been looking for it. And I'm happy for it. And I welcome it. Some of you don't welcome it because you've not been born again. If you were born again, you'd think this is something that's good news to hear. I'm talking about the who of his coming. I'm talking about the when of his coming. I'm talking about the wonder of his coming. Oh, I'm saying don't be disturbed when you think about the fact that Jesus is coming back again. And what a privilege it is for me to tell you about the witness of his coming. I'm a witness. And so is every one of you who are believers. The Bible says this In verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. You see, why you are not disturbed by his coming is because of the testimony of a believer that witnessed to you. My grandmother witnessed to me about Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and I believed. And because of that, when Jesus comes back, he's going to catch me up. You see, it doesn't happen without the witness. You've got to receive the witness. You're receiving in your ears the witness of a man that's telling you to acknowledge you're a sinner, that acknowledge that you deserve to be judged, that is coming and cast into hell and all the rest, but to acknowledge that he died for anyone in the world who's willing to look away from yourself and to put all your faith in him to save you. He'll save you. He said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. And so what I'm saying is that we don't need to be disturbed if we're witnessing. What can I do until he comes? I can witness. Every day I've been able to give the gospel to somebody and see them profess to believe in Jesus Christ. I was out the other day with my wife and I dropped her off in the mall to do some going to the bank and some shopping, and I was walking around praying and asking God to bless, and I prayed as I walked around the mall. I do that a lot. For about an hour I did that. When my hour was over, I saw my lovely wife and she said, hey, I was just in the bank and there's a lady that's come to our church. Her name is Kim. And I said, that's interesting. And she said, yeah, she's come to our church, and she's just gotten married, and she married a biologist. She's from Jamaica. He's Italian background from this area, I believe. And anyway, they got married, and she's been to our church, and she'd like to meet you, I'm sure, you know, talk to you. I said, okay, you know, I've just been praying that God would lead me to somebody that God's prepared, so I can witness to them about the Lord. And so I went there with my wife and went in the bank, and there was nobody there. You know, a lot of people are banking with the internet today. And I was there. We could be there for 10, 15 minutes and just talk to her without any interruption. And we're talking, and I'm talking, asking her questions, and we're just talking, and she's telling me about coming to church and everything. And I said, you know, if I ever asked you the two spiritual questions? She said, yeah, you did. And she said, but you didn't get to finish it. And I said, oh. I said, if you were to die today and stand before God, and he said, why should I let you in? And she didn't know the right answer. And I told her, we're all sinners, and we all have to die and go to hell to pay for our sin. But Jesus, he lived that perfect life, and he died to pay for the sins of the world and rose again. And if you put your faith and trust in him, he'll save you. And she said, I'll do that. I said, well, will you repeat after me? And she said, yes. And I said, dear Lord Jesus, she said, dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And we went right through the sinner's prayer, and she put her faith in Jesus Christ and was born again. And she wants to come out, wants to see us. Pray for her. Her name is Kim from Jamaica. But you know what? When you get saved, then when he comes back again, you don't have to be disturbed. When this world is falling down and tsunamis are coming and people are dying and people are screaming and the Lord is going to war with this world, guess what? He's going to rapture you out of here. You're going to get raptured out of here before the wrath of God falls. You say, when does the wrath of God fall? In the second half, on a day or hour, I don't know, during the second 3.5 years of the final 7 years. You say, I don't understand all that. Well, that's because you don't need to be deceived. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. Don't be disturbed as this morning if you're saved. Don't be deceived is tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. A lot of people are deceived. And sad to say, a lot of preachers are not teaching it the way it needs to be taught. I'm not bragging, but I know I'm teaching it the way the Bible says it. You can read it tonight for yourself. It's clear as the nose on your face. Don't be deceived. I'm saying to you, don't be disturbed because of the who of his coming, because of the when of his coming, because of the wonder of his coming, and because of the witness of his coming. Have you received that witness? Have you humbled yourself and said, it's not because of my church membership, it's not because of my political party, it's not because of my family and the background of my family, it's not because of my religion, it's not because of my good works and my goodness. No, none of these things am I depending on. Jesus alone is my foundation. Jesus alone is my trust. I'm saved, and I know it because Jesus never fails. And I have been born again through faith in him. If you can't say that, receive the witness today and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ yourself, and you'll be saved. And then don't be ashamed to say, hey, I've trusted Christ. Confess him and wait for him and watch for him because he is coming back. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. We've been talking about how you approach the end times, and you don't need to be disturbed if you're saved through the witness of the Word of God and your faith in Jesus.